Well, good morning, Fellowship 412. It is my pleasure to be able to bring God's word to you today. I want to get right into the message, so I don't want to delay the moment, especially after high worship, and get right to what God wants me to speak to you. But I would ask, continue to pray that I be able to deliver as God would intend, because yesterday our family suffered another loss of a family member. It's my uncle, my mom's brother, but it's also the brother of Winky, who serves here faithfully. You saw him on the way in. He greeted you. And so he lost another brother. And the emphasis to this is because over the last few years, especially in this last year of launching a church plant, this is probably the fourth or fifth family member since we've launched, right around that time frame that we have lost. And so we've lost somebody in four generations. We lost someone in my mom's generation, in my generation, my kids' generation, and their kids' generation. Brookie being the fourth generation. So it's been heavy on our hearts. I just want to ask that you continue to pray. They asked, members of the church asked, should I continue to go ahead and deliver God's word today, or should we go to video sermon? And I said that I was going to deliver the word today because I know this. The family member who passed away, my Uncle Ernest, I can tell you, I can rest assured that man was saved. After he had dealt with some health challenges, he gave his life to the Lord, and not just in speaking it, he lived it, and he became a conduit to lead others to Christ, but also he also moved them to check on their health. So I have full confidence that I know where he is, and if he was taking his last breath and had to speak to me in this situation, he would say, preach God's word, because he knows where he's going. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it from John, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read all 12 verses because I need to set up the story. You have to understand the story, because I'm going to draw from this story in John for the whole portion of the sermon for today. So I want to read all 12 verses. You can read along. We're going to have it behind you, the New American Standard Bible version. Or if you have a version in your hand, please feel free to go ahead and to read that. We're trying to adjust the temperature for those who are a little more chilly in here. We understand. Hopefully the word will warm you up as well. So let's go to the scriptures. John 9, 1 through 12. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who were previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes open? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. The title of today's message is Removing the Blind Spot. Let's pray together. Father, in these next moments, I really lean into you. Lean into you and your Holy Spirit just to help me to deliver in the way that you need it to be heard, and in packaging in such a way that those who need to hear it can receive it. Remove all barriers, Father, to prevent me from speaking appropriately and speaking in such a way that the individuals can receive what you intend for them to hear. Father, hide me behind your cross right now. And I pray, Father, your loving arms, wrap your loving arms around each and every one of us so we continue to feel your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we embark on today's word, may the Lord be with you. As we were nearing 2018, I had the nudging of the Holy Spirit leading me to pray for you, Fellowship 412. I was told to pray for all of you in this congregation. Now, this shouldn't come as any surprise to any of you, because as your pastor, it is sort of in my main job description, right? I mean, if I am to list the things that God expects me to do, praying for you really ranks at the near top of that list. I should be praying for you. And I'm supposed to pray for you. And that's exactly what I do, rest assured. I pray for you and I pray for you often. But there are times when you can sense a need to pray for something specific. And this was one of those many occasions where I felt I needed to pray with specific intent and specific intensity regarding a particular matter that the Lord was laying upon my heart, other than the church building. I know some of y'all are thinking that, but other than that. I then told you, the congregation, that what I would be praying. And it was these two things that I heard specifically from the Holy Spirit. It was at the end of service. I heard unlock and unleash. And I further explained that I would be praying that God would unlock all of your potential, your spiritual potential, and that you would gain confidence as the Spirit directs you to unleash that potential for the furtherance of the kingdom. Well, after I received that very inspirational nudging from the Holy Spirit and feeling overwhelmed, I then felt the spirit of Sharice Jefferson nudging at me as well. She then reached out to me and said that I should consider doing a sermon that would better clarify as to what I would actually be praying. And she was saying, we need to know more. What does this unlock and this unleash really mean? Well, I hope at the end of the sermon, you will have a better understanding as to how God was intending or putting in my spirit to pray for you. I want to use this story of Jesus's healing of the blind man. Yet I want to tell you, this wasn't the only time Jesus healed someone of blindness. The uniqueness of how he did it, it really comes into play for why I want to tell you about unlock and unleash. But it'll help you better grasp how God unlocks and unleashes you for spiritual potential. Because each of us has unrealized spiritual potential that will only be manifested as we uncover the Spirit's desire to work through us. We gain confidence and understanding of how God works and how he can work through us by better understanding him. He is the sole source of our spiritual empowerment, and knowing how he desires to empower you requires you getting to know more of him. God does not ration his outpouring of his Holy Spirit. He readily responds to those who desire a relationship. Some people like to make comparisons between spirituality or the exercise of spirituality or the abundance of spirituality. We like to make comparisons with that. And that comparison can really go various ways. It can go different ways. Individuals can look at another person and see that they have great spiritual talents or giftings. You can see it manifested through them. And you say to yourself, you start comparing your own spirituality or the exercise of that, man, I really wish I could be more like them. And so it's okay to model yourself like that, but we start making these comparisons. And conversely, we might have somebody who's not living up to their spiritual potential, living beneath their spiritual privilege. And you start comparing yourself and say, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. We can make these comparisons. But in either case, it has nothing to do with more or less of God's provision of his Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with more or less of his provision of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 says this, that there is one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all, through all, and in all. You do not get more of the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. What we see and experience is the use of the Holy Spirit more through us. But it's not like you get these different dispatchings of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit. It's what really determines the variance, appearing like more or less, more related to your deepening of relationship and intimacy with the Father. The more you draw to him, the more you embrace the Father's heart. The more you embrace his heart, the more you embrace, more you can submit to his will. And the more you submit to his will, the more he can manifest through you. His will can be manifested through you, but it's not an aspect of more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with the Spirit and everything to do with your connection with the Almighty. Now, many people will say and can say that they want more of God. I want more of you. And a lot of times when people present this question, I want more of God. In my mind, with the silent voice, the little shell inside, I sit back and I say it in my head. I really go, really? You want more of God, really? And this is not that. Not that it's right or it's improper to want more of God. But I want to know, have you considered the cost to yourself for less of self to be more aligned with God? We often think that freeing ourselves of spiritual destructive components of self is like freely handing over a donation to a thrift store or discarding our garbage to the curb. Well, that is not like that at all. And I want to say to you that, you want to present like, oh, I just merely don't want this anymore. So I'm just ready to get rid of it. Well, I have some breaking news for you. And I say, here's the breaking news. I keep losing my space. I say breaking news because it's needing to get rid of something inside of self is the point that is the breaking. Many times it requires a breaking of self that only God can do to get you to that place where you're ready to free it. Now, God is okay at receiving the things you are willing to release, but he desires to rid you of the weighty things you struggle to release. The way of the Lord may be profitable to you and to the kingdom, but I am certain it's going to cost you something. The whole reason why we have the person of the Holy Spirit is for deepening our relationship with the Father. Jesus arrived on this earth and detailed his purpose for removing the chasm called sin that seeks to separate us eternally from the Father. He demonstrated his sacrifice for the sake of another, so for the sake of his relationship, and promised another to stand guard over that relationship. And that other person is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us towards deepening our connection with the Father and encourages us to remove the barriers that prevent us from strengthening our relationship with the Father. The greatest barrier that prevents an intimate relationship with the Father is that of sin. Whether we are a believer or a non-believer, we all wrestle in our flesh because of our sin nature. And thankfully, as believers, if I had to draw a comparison, thankfully, as believers, we need not succumb to our sin nature because in Jesus Christ, we have adopted a new nature. Now, that new nature has some powerful backup coming its way. We don't need to fight alone, nor are we required to. God has given us the Holy Spirit that aids us in the war against our sin nature. In its fight against our sin nature, we can often experience what I like to call spiritual blind spots. These are areas of our spiritual lives that may present obstructions that can stunt our spiritual growth and hamper our spiritual potential. These obstructions are not the ones that are known to you. Hence the term spiritual blind spot. Spiritual blind spots are those spiritual obstructions you can't see, and you will only gain insight with God's divine intervention. These obstructions aren't immediately apparent to you. They exist and you are not aware. You may carry them along your spiritual journeys, and although they may not cause catastrophic consequences, they can have a damaging effect upon your spiritual effectiveness and your overall spiritual well-being. They remain hidden to you until the Lord shines light upon them. His light is the truth, and more specifically, the truth about you. And he wants you and all of us to live in his light. Now, let me share a story. I am quite fascinated, really fascinated, on how a person who is blind is able to navigate the world around them. My fascination probably originates from my deep curiosity as to the what, as to the how they are able. I marvel at their ability to sense things in their environment and how they utilize other senses to guide them. Touch, smell, hearing. Now, as a person who has never been blind before, nor do I desire it. I don't desire to be blind. I say I marvel at how they move around their environment. I don't desire it. I don't have the full understanding of what the experience is like, but I can only speculate. But there have been times where I have literally stumbled along in darkness before. Now, there are times where I have awakened at night and needed to move about in my bedroom. And as a courtesy to Faye, who is still sleeping, I try to do so by moving quietly about the room, refraining from turning on the lights so as not to disturb her sleep. Now, most of the time, I am able to do so because I am able to orient myself with the known obstacles that are commonly located in my room. I know where the dresser is and the foot of the bed is and the path to get between there to get to the door. I know that. I orient myself, no matter if it's dim light, low light, I can do that. And I can move myself outside the room quietly and do that and don't disturb her from her sleep. Then there are times where I might not be so lucky. I needed to exit a room one night. And I tried to do so by maneuvering past the foot of the bed and the dresser, where that path that I'm commonly walk past, that I orient myself. Now, normally, that path is wide open. Except this time, as I was walking, I encountered her black suitcase that was sticking out just enough for me to unintentionally kick that thing. I mean, I think I laid 4 or 5 of my toes squarely on this black suitcase. I mean, I probably kicked that thing like I was trying to do an imitation of David Beckham hitting a soccer ball. I mean, I planted my foot into this thing, and it was so painful. It just shrieked with pain. And I started thinking, I'm not a man who usually swears, but I was thinking of some pretty colorful words that were coming to the forefront of my mind. And it wasn't a big gate that was holding those words back before they get to my mouth. I was asking God for forgiveness ahead of time because those words were coming quickly through that path. I wanted to exclaim some stuff. That's how much pain I was. It was painful. Well, there was an obstacle in my path. And I normally know my path, but this obstacle presented something. I couldn't see it. Well, similarly, there are spiritual obstacles that are present along your spiritual journeys. You may think you can navigate the path, but because of your spiritual blind spot, you can't see the obstruction that is within your path. There are plenty of spiritual blind spots. There's a laundry list of spiritual blind spots. I ain't got enough time sitting in this theater to really go through every single one. There's just a myriad of spiritual blind spots. But I want to give you a couple, and I'm not going to hit the high ones that people can think, the obvious sins and stuff like that. I want to hit some ones that maybe cause you some thinking. How about, here's some spiritual blind spots. How about ambivalence? What do you mean by ambivalence? Ambivalence for the lost. Jesus commanded that we would seek and save the lost. And so if you stand at a position of, it matters, but maybe it doesn't, if you have a spirit of ambivalence towards the lost, you may have a blind spot. We're commanded to pursue, to chase after, passionately pursue those that don't know him can't have a spirit of ambivalence. What about pride? And you can take any variants of pride itself, whatever that is. It could be spiritual pride. It could be pride in your job, pride, whatever. Just pride itself, all puffed up on pride. Can't deepen your relationship with God possessing pride. James 4:6 says this, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture said God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You can't possess pride and says, I'm drawn closer to God. He opposes it. So here's a spiritual blind spot that might exist. I love this one, defensiveness for whatever reason. The spirit or the aspect of defensiveness. Well, I just need, somebody tells you something. They're really trying to point something out that might be pulling at you spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, relationally. They're just saying there's this nuance about you that you really need to address. And your response is, well, that's just the way I am. That defensiveness. You need not to take defense of these things. Somebody's trying to point out a spiritual blind spot, but you're holding on to that, and it is hampering your spiritual journey. How about this? A biggie. We say it. It feels good. We understand it. We try to attach it because we receive it from Christ, but unforgiveness. Unforgiveness in your heart. I'm not talking about unforgiveness in your mouth. Unforgiveness in your heart. Sometimes we say we forgive people. That's the words coming out of your mouth. But what about what is resonating in your heart? Deep-seated unforgiveness in here. Yeah, I forgive you. But holding on to some of those tenets of unforgiveness in your heart ain't doing nothing more but eroding you. And it is a blind spot. I love this as a quote. This is from a Baptist preacher. It was evangelist John Rice. And he said this. He said that unforgiveness, when you boil down to its essence, unforgiveness is merely just hatred. When you boil it all the way down, it's simply hatred. Let that resonate. So when we talk about unforgiveness, it can be a cancer to your own soul. These are just a couple. I'm telling you, there's plenty of spiritual obstructions that we have. But spiritual obstructions that you know of, and you know of these barriers preventing you from being closer to God, is not a blind spot. If you know of them, it's not a blind spot. That's nothing more than good old-fashioned disobedience. Disobedience is the steroid that strengthens sin for the destruction of your soul. Disobedience can damage your spirit, but continued disobedience can destroy your soul. We may have blind spots, but God does not intend, and God does not want us to have them. Because you know what? There's something about the Almighty. He has no blind spots. And he knows each and everything about us. Every nuance, every little quirk, he knows us and he knows us well. And the beautiful thing about God is he wants to relieve us of our blind spots. All of our spiritual blind spots are totally known to him, and he desires to reveal them to you. The way he reveals them to you is through deepening his relationship with you. Removal of these blind spots will allow him to continue to unlock all of your spiritual gifts and unleash them for his glory in the building of his kingdom. And I want to go through and use this story to really illustrate unlocking and unleashing. And I'm going to jump back into the story. And although the scriptures and the 12 verses that I read don't describe some of this, I'm not adding to the story. I'm using creative liberty because I'm standing up here talking. I'm using creative liberty to extract out just a couple more elements to make these ties. Okay? So let's use the story. To unlock your spiritual potential, you have to discipline yourself to be spiritually available. God demonstrates his spiritual capability through those who demonstrate their personal availability. Excuse me. The blind man's healing was not given to him because he requested. Does not say that he walked up to this Jesus and said, "Please heal my sight." It says, as they passed by, a question was rendered and asked, "Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents?" This man was doing what he normally does all the time. He was just there at the temple, probably begging. He was just walking about. He was there and available. He did not run up to Jesus. But there was a point in time that his situation was going to meet the person who can change his situation, that person of Jesus. So he was available. Had he not been there, pick some other thing to do that particular time. If they had PlayStation back there, be on PlayStation. I know he's blind, but they got disabled stuff. And so if he's doing something else other than what he's supposed to be doing, he was there in the temple and he was there and available. Well, this blind man's availability provided an opportunity for the situation changer to meet up with him. Well, our availability has to be that we're always ready. When Jesus decides to pass by, are you prepped and ready and available to allow his work to be manifested through you? You like to pick and choose when Jesus decides to move, but he predetermines, God predetermines how he moves and when he wants to move through you, are you going to make yourself available? Had nothing to do with the sins of the mother, the father, or his sin. Because if that was the case, here's the great thing about this story that really, really gets me. If they really believed his blindness since birth was because of sin, he was forever condemned on that belief system. He could never receive salvation as long as he was blind. Here's Jesus right setting something here. I'm the one that can change this because I am the one. But also salvation is in me and not from your previous standing or your belief. He demonstrated something great there. That's not even my main illustrating point. I got to keep going. It's a great story to really draw down to. So we have to be available to allow God's work to be displayed. To unlock your spiritual potential, you must be willing to embrace the unthinkable. Setting limitations on God is both an infringement upon our faith and upon his faithfulness. It's an infringement on both. Don't limit God and his ability to do something. Don't set the limits. You just got to be able to embrace the unthinkable. Now, Jesus's method of healing this man leaves a little to be desired. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I know this is Jesus doing that, and it's all packaged nice and neat and pretty inside these scriptures, but live this thing out with this blind man for a minute. Put yourself in his shoes for 2 seconds here. He can't see what's going on, and he hears somebody spit, and I'm saying on the ground because John describes it. Hears somebody spit on the ground, and then the next thing he feels is the cool sensation of some muddy mud pack being placed on his eyes. You got to think about what's going through his mind. Like, did this man really just spit in something and put this on my face? Like, really? Did he really just do this? You think he sat there all nice and calm. You heard him spit on the ground. And the next thing you feel is that one of the most degrading things you can do socially is spit on somebody. And he did this and put it on his eyes. We think he said, oh, Jesus, you were about to. Man, I bet you if he was from the hood, he was ready to fight. Like, this man, you just put spit on me. And a spit mud pack at that. I'm sure he just didn't rest. He was ready to embrace the unthinkable. Now, I was sitting there thinking when I read this story, couldn't Jesus have done anything like medical staff do when you get ready to have some procedure done before they poke, prod, stick you, put cold instruments on you? What do? They prepare you. Now, this doesn't take away the poking, the prodding, the sticking, or the cold hands, but they prepare you. Jesus didn't do this. He just had to embrace the unthinkable, and he did. Right on his face. He embraced it literally and figuratively. And so he was ready to do that. You have to be ready to embrace the unthinkable. To unlock your spiritual potential, you must be prepared to trust the Spirit's leading. A true follower of God doesn't need to know all the details of the plan. They simply trust in the one who has devised the plan. Now, even if the parts of the plan don't make sense to you at the time, they make sense to him. And you have to trust it. You have to trust him. Even if you don't trust the plan, trust him. Jesus instructed this man to go wash his face in a pool of Siloam. He tells a blind man to go find a pool. Let that sit there for 2 seconds for you. He told a blind man to go find a pool he's never seen before. He didn't tell somebody to lead the man to the pool. He told the blind man, go find the pool. This man just put spit mud on my face and now directs me, I'm blind, to go find a pool I've never seen before. Now, the details of the plan seem a little strange to me. Now, let me explain something about the pool of Siloam. Now, it's an aqueduct that came through the area, but it was stair-stepped going down to get to the water. So now we tell a blind man to find a pool he's never seen before and ambulate down some steps, and he's blind, and he has to do this to get. He has to wash in the pool. I mean, think about the difficulty of the details. But not only that, this is during the time of Feast of Tabernacles, that they have determined that the pool of Siloam is sacred, that no one can touch the waters of the pool but the high priest, because they go and draw water with the pitchers of the table of showbread. It is a time of high celebration. It is sacred. Now you tell a man who is deemed to be sinful, who is blind, to go out, to walk, to ambulate to a place he's never seen before, step down to some steps and be able to make it, to wash his face during a time where he ain't even allowed to touch it. The details of the plan to get him to get to the place where he can receive his healing, he only simply trusted him. Man, that when you understand that sometimes God sets up a plan that doesn't make sense to us, but when we get to the other side of his plan, you see the miracles and the majesty of God that is exhibited when we simply are able to trust him. Now, we must get to that place to just simply trust him. Submission to God and obedience isn't just following the commands. It's the willingness to follow his voice no matter where he may direct us. Let me shift to unleashing. I gave you some understanding about unlocking. Let me give you a couple on unleashing. To unleash your spiritual potential, you must be willing to stand in the face of your greatest challenges. Now, what I mean by your greatest challenges, it's the things that will attempt to oppose the truth about you and the truth about God's word. As we seek to do God's work, the enemy does not concede to your efforts. Oh, here comes the one empowered by God. Let me go the other way. No, that's not the way he does that. The moment you step up and say, I stand for God, this man really believes he's equal with God. That's what got him kicked out. He thinks he's equal. So this thing and this verbiage about that you are empowered by God, he's not afraid of that. And he opposes you. Now, we master what we come up against because the truth about God is that God and his truth reigns supreme. So we don't have to fear the enemy, but he doesn't fear you. He comes right up to oppose God's truth because he wants to minimize God's glory as much as he can. It was from the beginning of time. He wanted to detract from God's glory, and he continues to do it today. Why would you think that the empowerment of God working through you, so you bring glory to the kingdom, glory to God, that the enemy is going to stop from his efforts to minimize that impact? Nope. He brings his greatest challenges. So he does not want God to get the glory. Now, blind man. After receiving his healing, many around him doubted. You see it right in the story, that he couldn't see. You see this man walking around. He's not feeling his way anymore. He's walking upright. He's walking. He can see. He's telling, excuse me. Oh, what's that? He's probably describing stuff he's never seen before. What is this right here? He's probably saying stuff. And they're still doubting that this man can see. He's sitting here illustrating. He has sight. And they're sitting here telling, who is this man? This can't be him. No, this isn't the same guy, in doubt. Well, don't let those who oppose the truth stand against you. Stand firm against your greatest challenges. Don't become dispirited. He didn't. He didn't become dispirited from all the naysayers. He continued to boldly proclaim his healing. And who provided his healing? Some of your challenges are designed to leave you dispirited so that you give up. But when we stand in the foundation of faith, as illustrated in Romans 8:37, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. You're more than able to conquer. To unleash your spiritual potential, you must go to the individuals who don't necessarily need to know you, but definitely need to know him. I'm going to say it again. It ain't for your glory. They don't need to know you. They need to know him. And so your best spiritual potential is not trying to position yourself to get the attention. The attention is not on you. The attention is about, do you see him? Are you able to see him? And you provide the ability, the open lens, the conduit that helps people to be able to see Jesus more clearly, not you more clearly. He is not about you and totally about him. There are times our spiritual blind spots may be preventing us from seeing the very people we should be targeting. God desires that they be reached, yet we are unable to focus our attention towards them because we can't see them. Can't see them. Ain't trying to see them. Your blind spots got them blocked. And further in this book of John, it describes, you can read the story further. It describes the blind man having to go before the Pharisees and explain his healing. The Pharisee had no regard for this man. He wasn't even worthy to be in the temple. Had no regard for him. Now he has to stand in front of the Pharisees and affirm what it is that he received through Jesus. And he was able to walk that. He didn't mind it. I can see now. But the funny thing is, how are you going to ask this blind man now? He was blind. You keep telling him he was blind. He's telling you can see. And now you ask him, well, who was this person? The man can't see. He can't tell me. The only thing he could tell him is that man called Jesus. That's the only thing he could rely on. That man called Jesus. I can't tell you what he looks like. He freed me of my blindness. He told me to go wash, but I know the voice of the Savior. And that's the voice that I follow. No, that God uses you as the voice as well. It's his voice through you. And people need to hear about Jesus. Finally, to unlock your spiritual potential, you must be a working witness. To see God's work be manifested through you must mean that you got to be willing to do the work. He's not giving you spiritual empowerment for you to sit on your butt and ponder about what it is that you want to do. He is not empowering you to dictate and try to strategize, do I choose or feel like being used of God today? You have to be a working witness. And the working aspect of it is, if you're already saved, you got 50% of the story that's necessary, how he saved you. The other 50% is connecting the story so that Jesus can save them. You have to be a willing, working witness. And by working, the empowerment of God that works through you, he then begins to dispatch the capability for you to reach who he needs to reach and when he needs to reach it. And you can't sit back to determine that. An old guy told me one time when he was talking about fashioning myself for success. He said, look here, young man, if you sit there dreaming all day, all you're going to get is rest. That didn't make sense to me. But if you sit here and think about it, if I'm sitting back pondering, dreaming, one day I'm going to do this. It's all well and good to think about how you're going to plan that, but you got to get out there and start doing it. You can't just sit back dreaming about it. You got to be actively participating in it. Don't be one of these ones with spiritual potential and all you got is rest in your body because you ain't really moving nowhere. God is saying, yeah, think big because the spirit and faith that pushes behind us allows us to think bigger, but get out there and do the work. Work the kingdom because God wants to add to that kingdom. To unlock and unleash your spiritual potential starts with deepening your relationship with God. Then moves into obedience and trust in God. Then finally, it's being willing to be dispatched by God. And if you follow the pathway, you will see God's unlocking and unleashing of your spiritual potential in ways that you've never seen before. Now, as I close in that big teaching lot there, and you have your sermon points, I hope you refer back to this. Because there's a reason why God called us, Fellowship 412, to come over to do this work here in Homestead. And it's all well and good. We bring talents and giftings, and we bring stuff right in our capability, and we're utilizing these efforts right now. But if you ain't looking for the next hot thing, the new hotness in Jesus, if you ain't trying to pursue, I need something more. Not more when, hey, I need to pursue more. Get rid of you and allow the Spirit's move to come through you. But there is more God wants you to do for the kingdom. He called us to this place, to this area. We have to unlock and unleash our opportunities to reach those who need to be connected. And we've been doing some of that. Meeting here is one part. But God is calling us to move and transition to do some other things. That's the encouragement to you.